entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives.
Welcome to the French Press Podcast. It's April 5th, and this is episode 99. Layton checks in from Hillcrest, and we discuss what you might be flushing down the toilet.
All right, guys, here we are with the podcast, the last double-digit podcast. It's number 99, and it's the first podcast with Layton all the way across reality over in Hillcrest, and Eric and I here in the studio in Layton's former basement.
I'm at the number two mic now, the co-pilot chair.
Yeah. Layton, how are things going for you in Hillcrest?
It's going all right. It's a smooth transition so far.
Hey, first off, tell us a little bit about your podcast setup, you know, just kind of your surroundings there, so when people close their eyes and think of you, they kind of know where to place you.
You can place me in a large room that's kind of open, with like a very a short, very coarse carpet and weights and workout equipment just surrounding me.
Now, no one's gonna yell at you and tell you to get to work, are they?
No, because my shift doesn't start until 4 o'clock. So.
What about anybody yelling to drop and give me 10 more since you're in a workout room?
Then I will just tell them to be quiet.
So speaking
right
of your,
now I'm on my time.
Okay,
is this going to be kind of like a prison experience where you're going to come out totally fit and ripped when you're done with the year of service?
I expect so. Yes, but people have already encouraged me to start working out because I think they realize that I am just this wimp. Especially the other CNAs, they look at me like, oh my goodness. He obviously does not have what it takes in order to lift a 300-pound man up from his wheelchair and help him onto the bed.
Now, help me understand this. You're going to go through some training, so you're not just going to walk into a resident's room and just hoist them out of their chair and over to the toilet.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. I did it 5 times today already.
Really? Because I kind of picture that you might start with just like a mannequin. Or something maybe half the weight of a 300-pound person.
Oh, well, actually, that's a lie. I haven't done any of that. You're right, Ruben. I am going to be taking training.
Okay, I wondered.
It turns out they don't trust the elderly with just random strangers.
What a surprise.
I was really surprised. I was like, what, really?
Do the residents have any choice in choosing their CNA?
No, they pretty much have to settle with whatever CNA they're given. However, if there's any like abuse or anything like where maybe they're being neglected or anything, the CNA is allowed to, or not the CNA, sorry, the resident is allowed to complain about the CNA's behavior or treatment of the resident.
Okay. Okay. Well, tell us a little bit. Do you know what your training is going to entail? Like, how long it'll be? What all you'll be doing?
It'll last, I think, about 3 weeks in a classroom, and then after 3 weeks of classes, then I think I can start my on-the-job training.
And that could go, as long as a week or as long as a month. The on-job training.
I've heard that you don't really get used to it until, 3 months in, actually.
Okay. So would that mean you'd probably be on day shift during your training time?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I think so.
All right. Do you just want to tell us a little bit about your first few days there? You left us on Wednesday when we recorded the previous podcast. Do you just want to tell us your experiences? You drove up, the emotion, what you saw that you were hoping to see, maybe what you didn't see that you were hoping to see?
Yeah, okay. So I left around 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, and then I drove until 12:30 in the morning, Thursday morning, And then I stopped at a rest area and slept for 4 hours. So I got up at 4:30 and then drove the rest of the way. And I got here at Hillcrest around, I want to say 12. No, wait, no, no, no. 4 o'clock Thursday afternoon.
And that was kind of your target time, correct?
Yes. Yes, it was. So I was able to get there just in time that I could already begin my assimilation, as it were, with the rest of the volunteer staff.
And you weren't sure if there was going to be any new people. I think when we had talked, I'd asked you, is there going to be any new enrollees at the same time you're enrolling, or are you the only new guy?
Right now, I'm pretty much like the only new guy right now. I think maybe the last new person got here like 2 weeks ago, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, have they told you about any hazing rituals, or is that the sort of thing that just kind of happens organically?
I think that just kind of happens organically, or rather, I don't think the volunteers handle that. I think the residents handle that, the hazing process. I don't think that actual hazing process doesn't start until after I finish my CNA training.
Okay.
And then it actually doesn't end until your time of service ends.
That's the time I'm looking forward to hearing about more and more.
All right.
I heard through the grapevine that your bathroom was less than ideal. You know, you walk into a 5-star hotel, and you know there's like not a hand towel on the towel rack, or just like little things that are just irritating. Did you kind of have a similar experience like that?
Almost. When I got there, it was kind of weird that they have 4 sinks for a pod, and in each pod there are I want to say 4 dorms, and in each dorm there are 2 people.
Okay.
Actually scratch that. In each dorm, in 2 of the dorms, there's 2 people, and then in the other 2 dorms, there's only 1 person.
Okay, so you do have a decent amount of privacy.
Yeah, you do. Anyways, so and that's 1 pod, and each pod has a bathroom with 4 sinks in it. And when I went in, it was really weird. The one sink had a towel like beside it, and on that towel were a whole bunch of like seashells, and like I don't know if someone had been walking along and went collecting or something. I don't know why, but anyways, they appeared to be drying on a towel. And all around that same sink, there was an abundant amount of hair. It looked like they had taken clippers, like straight up scissors, and just like clipped, and then just like took that whole clod that they just clipped off of their face and other parts of their body, and just threw it just kind of around the sink area.
So it was done very tastefully, you would say?
Yeah. It was kind of like it looked like somebody might have taken it and kind of like spread it around, kind of like what they do at like an Olive Garden, like when they have like a hint of spice
with
or something.
When they spread the cheese on the salad with the grated cheese.
Exactly. And they were just spreading their cheese, as it were, around the sink. But thankfully, that was all gone by the next day, and it was all cleaned up. So,
now, why do they call it a pod for the dorms? Is there a reason, or is it just a?
Because they would like us to think, they would like us to think of ourselves as vegetables. normally, we would think as like some of the residents who are not very physically able to do or to get around, we would call them vegetables, but rather they would like us to think of ourselves as vegetables, and we are like peas and very tight living quarters, living closely together, rubbing shoulders, like we're in a pod.
Oh, so okay.
We are peas in a pod.
I would like to see just some photos of your dorm and your living area. It doesn't need to be today on this episode, but just, you know, sometime in the future.
Well, I have some of my dorm, and I'll send you some of mine, but I would feel bad sending pictures of other people's dorms. Not because I've been in them or that there's stuff that's inappropriate, but just because, like,
yeah.
You already have very little privacy. Oh, and by the way, here's your pod mate who just happens to, like, have a little podcast of his own and loves to spread it all over the internet. So there's that, too.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah, just yours would be fine.
Now, do people realize that this Hillcrest, the staff there, do they realize what a recruiting tool you have at your disposal? Like, I feel like they should treat you really, really nice. I mean, you don't want to give any bad reviews on the podcast.
Oh, don't worry. They do treat me like a tool. It's fine. I may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but at the end of the day, I'm still a tool. So that's nice. They definitely see me as an asset.
Have you met everybody, all of the staff yet?
The staff, to be honest, I don't know. Like, because there's always somebody, like, on duty at all times. So I honestly don't know.
Do you think it'll get to the point where you'll know everybody's name who's on staff?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if there was that many people that, you know, it just wouldn't happen.
Yeah. And there's constantly, like, new people coming and people going, like, just constantly rotating out. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, why don't we take a little break here, and then when we come back, we've got a news story from Eric and then a little incident that I suffered through on our way from Florida on the trip back home to Indiana. So we'll take a break and be back in a moment. All right, guys, we're back with part two of the episode. Like I mentioned, we got a news story with Eric, and then we've also had a little incident on the way back. And then, but first, I wanted to mention some feedback that we got from Brad Mast. He said, FYI, no disrespect to anyone who has done the opening to the French Press podcast, but Eric just had the best ever on the newest episode, and that was the one we recorded on Wednesday. April 1st. So, Eric, people like your voice.
Okay, well, that's surprising. I thought we would lose people from my voice. But it's too bad we can only use that one time, you know, at least to be accurate with that intro.
Well, I thought maybe we could do it every episode. You could just do, like, a unique intro.
Okay, yeah.
And maybe even use different voices. Maybe you could do, like, a southern drawl once in a while.
Sure.
Brad also said, tell Eric he needs to scratch the Mennonite book and make the app instead.
Well...
So, I know you're
a lot of tourists are older people, so I feel like they would prefer the book. But the app would definitely be for the younger generation.
Yeah.
Yes. The app would definitely be important.
Yeah. Because it could be updated, you know, over the air, over the internet. Okay. So one other thing, Layton does have a few more things to mention. In fact, Layton, let's do that, and then we'll get to the news story and the incident on the way home from Florida. And along with what your closing remarks on your first few days at Hillcrest is this. I recently read an article about nursing homes. And
okay.
It mentioned that, and I've heard this before from other sources, it mentioned that on nights where there is a full moon, residents are stranger and might possibly more likely to die. But emphasis on stranger.
Yeah. I actually... I investigated this. I asked a guy who has been a CNA here for 2 years now, I think, and I asked him if it's true that the residents become I worded it more restless if they become more restless during full moons, and he said, "Oh, absolutely, they definitely do." He said sometimes he'll have. Out of 16 people, they'll have like four or five of them wandering around awake.
Whereas normally it would just be one or zero?
Probably one or two, yeah.
Wow. What is what do you credit this phenomenon to?
I would accredit it to the moon's pull on the Earth. It raises the tide, and I think it also might raise just the sensitivity of the residents' bladders, and thus because they feel like they need to urinate more often from the gravity of the moon pulling on it, then that makes that they feel like they need to be up and around and they need to go like all the time. Mm-hmm. So I think
we definitely want you to track this, mark the calendar, keep track of the events, and
let us know
some real, you know, live data on this phenomenon.
Okay. And then one other question I had, Leighton, was Soylent. Have you whipped out that your drinkable food?
Sadly, no. My Soylent has been left. It was left in Indiana, so I don't think I'm going to be able to get it until my sister comes and visits me at the end of April.
Okay.
Or at the end of this month.
You also left a few other things in Florida. Your charger for your speaker, and
I need that.
Some black dress pants.
Oh, yeah, that would be nice to have too.
So,
just to shake things up.
So yeah, we'll try to ship it out before, because Katie doesn't go for like a month. Is that right?
Yeah.
So your speaker would probably die in that time.
It might. I don't use it that often, although we did use it last night. To just for devotions, we were watching a video and we were watching a video off of a laptop. So
okay,
we needed an external speaker to really blare it. So. Okay. That came in handy.
Was there anything more that you wanted just to share about Hillcrest?
Yeah. This morning, I kind of botched things up. So, like, this morning, it's a Sunday morning, okay? And there's this one guy who's very, very prompt. In fact, he's so prompt, like, whenever his shift comes up, that, like, he likes to be there 45 minutes early.
45 minutes.
Yeah, he likes to clock in 45 minutes early, and I kind of ruined that for him. Because he said, okay, he's the one that's training me in. And he said, the shift would start, the shift starts at 6 o'clock, but he likes to be there, like, he likes to clock in at, like, 5:15. Or, yeah.
Okay.
But he said because, you know, he's training me in and I'll be able to help him out a little bit, probably don't need to clock in until, or like leave the dorm until about 5:30, clock in at 5:35. Like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I set my alarm for 5 o'clock. Well, technically, though, I was like, oh, I already have a 5 o'clock alarm made because that's the time I used to get up for work, whatever, mm-hmm. back in Indiana. So I go to my alarm, whatever, my 5 o'clock alarm, turn it on. It's like, oh, okay, we're good to go. Well, not thinking, that alarm is only set to go off during the days of the week. Sunday is on a weekend.
Yeah, I wouldn't have thought about that.
Yeah, 5:30 rolls around, and I hear his voice. It's 5:30. And I'm like still in bed and like go I need to take a shower. So I quickly jump out of bed, take a shower as fast as I can, and I'm ready to go by about 5:48, and oh boy, he's just not liking this. This is not good. Oh my goodness. I successfully took him from being early to being on time.
How can you tell that he's not liking this?
He's breathing a little bit heavier than normal, like he's just kind of nervous. It's just like sweating a little bit, and he's just not acting his normal self. And, the whole time, like, during his morning routine that he's getting things ready, he's like, oh, dear. Oh my. The residents. Oh, they're going to go hungry. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. and I'm like, oh dear.
So not a great first impression.
Nope. Not too good.
Is he going to be your trainee for your whole time, or just for this certain shift?
It was just for this certain shift. Yeah. And then it turns out that I found out today then, like, that I wasn't even supposed to be training on that shift, though. I was supposed to be training instead of the 2 o'clock shift. I was supposed to be training for the 10 o'clock to 6 o'clock shift. So I'm actually going to have to punch back in at 4.
Oh, man. Okay.
Now yeah. This is a little off topic, but speaking of getting out of bed in the morning, does anyone else, when the alarm goes off, you're laying there, okay, I can still take a shower, and then you hit the snooze button, and then you're like, well, I'll just brush my teeth, and then you hit the snooze again, and then I'll just wear a hat today. Does that happen to anyone else, or do you guys get out of bed promptly when the alarm goes off?
For me,
I wait until the alarm, like, doesn't go off. And then I let somebody else wake me up, apparently.
For me, it depends. See, I'm pretty flexible as far as what I need to do when. If I have if I know I have an appointment at, let's say, 7 o'clock, it's usually the earliest that I'd have an appointment. Usually it's more like 8 or 9. So, I never really have that much of a problem to get up in the morning to get ready.
Because the snooze button is terrible for me. I think if I'd be self-employed, I'd basically be unemployed.
Well, you can only do that so long, and then you're on the street.
Right. But okay, but yeah, back to you, Layton.
These are the things I think the listeners will enjoy hearing. Just your everyday life, you know, the struggles you're going through, the victories that you have. All right, so we move on to the news stories, Layton?
Yes, let's.
News story. The first story, now this is kind of a gross story, so hopefully the people will bear with us here. It's a really crappy story, but it turns out that Americans are potentially flushing millions of dollars down the toilet every year. Basically, they found out that human waste is full of metals like gold and silver, and some people are trying to find ways to extract these metals from human waste.
Now, maybe you'll get into it, but my question is, are these metals things that we ingest just in everyday food, or is it like very exotic foods only certain people eat?
The theory is that the metals are finding their way into our waste through beauty products, detergents, and even odor-resistant clothing. So it's not necessarily the food we're eating, it's more of the things that we're putting on our body and wearing. So,
and it's coming out through our digestive
through
system,
through our waste,
though.
Yeah. They say there's... They detected sizable concentrations of platinum, silver, and gold when they looked at samples under an electron microscope. And they said the level was high enough that if it were observed in a rock, it would be considered a potential mining prospect. And they estimate that the population of 1 million people could yield $13 million per year.
Hold it. So
from
a city.
Their waste.
A city.
Right.
Right.
A million people per year could potentially produce.
But I mean, like, how many people are in Chicago?
Oh,
a few million?
Oh, yeah. At least probably 5 or 6 at least, I would think.
Hold it. So is it worth it, though? How much would it cost to do this?
I'm not sure, but I think it's definitely possible because they go through the treatment plants when they treat the waste anyway. But it doesn't have any cost. It's still being a theoretical thing, but... Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I imagine it would pay off, but it's kind of a interesting story.
It is.
They just imagine if a college town or some kids are drinking Goldschlager. I imagine that would raise the amount of gold quite a bit.
No, what is that?
That's the alcohol that actually has gold flakes in it. I'm told.
You drink the gold.
I guess. I've seen, if you Google it or find pictures of it, they actually have gold flakes in the alcohol. I think it originated in the 1500s when people, the royalties, wanted to drink gold, I guess. So.
Okay, I'm doing an image or a search right now. And it's one word, Goldschlager, S-C-H-L-A-G-E-R. And it does look like there is little flakes of gold-colored things in the clear liquid.
Does it give the amount of
It says, this top one here on Google Shopping says, a 97-proof premium cinnamon schnapps with floating flakes of 24-karat gold leaf.
So maybe they just got some samples of some college kids or something.
It could be. very interesting. All right. Well, thank you for that news story. My incident happened this morning. We were at Cracker Barrel. We stopped for breakfast a few hours from home. And I ordered coffee like I normally would, like most people do on such mornings. And I held the cup up. I was still very groggy-eyed and not thinking or seeing clearly. And when I just held it up, hold on one second. Looks like we've maybe lost connection with Leighton. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. He's here.
Okay. For some reason, my phone was ringing with your name on it. I'm not sure what the deal was. But anyway, so eyes are a little bit groggy. I just lift the cup up to my lips to taste it, and I feel the heat. I smell the coffee, and I take a sip, and it's great. It tastes terrific. And I set the cup back down, and then as the caffeine, you know, infuses into my bloodstream, I kind of am able to see more clearly. And I notice there's this dark smudge around the rim of the cup on the left side, if I'd be holding it with my right hand, which is where I had sipped from. And I thought to myself, what is my skin? Is skin coming off of my lips? Is that what is on that mug? And so I turned it to the other side and took a sip and looked at it and realized there was no smudge there. And that's when I realized that I had just sipped from the place where some lady with very dark and nasty looking lipstick had sipped from previously.
So you had the exact same spot on the
exact same spot.
Now, would you rate that? Is that grosser than finding a hair in your food? Or no, that's pretty gross.
To me, though, a hair is grosser.
It's pretty. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty nasty, though.
I don't know, Ruben.
I can imagine that it was a beautiful woman. I can't imagine that it was. I mean, I can also imagine that this hair is from some hairy, greasy man.
That's true. That's true.
Unless you got the lipstick from some, like, very feminine man.
Well, I'd rather take than hair from a very greasy man.
Really? I don't know.
And the
hair is just
the
nasty.
The sad part, though, is that the cup was probably not washed right. So there's might be some other, you know, that's kind of a disturbing thought, that the cup wasn't washed well enough to remove the lipstick.
Yeah. I didn't want to make a big deal about it, but our waitress came over as I was showing the rest of the guys what was on my lips and on the cup. And so I was kind of making a big deal about it then, but I didn't make a big deal about it to her. And I probably could have got a free cup of coffee out of the deal.
Yeah, that is true. She didn't offer
anything. But I wasn't also in the mood for making a big deal. But that was probably the most disappointing thing that happened to me this week.
That would be very disturbing.
Did you guys, we talked a little bit about Florida on the last podcast. Some things we did, Leighton, after you left is that we went fishing a day later.
How was that?
And it was fun. We caught a decent amount of fish.
Yeah, it wasn't deep sea fishing. It was just, it was a few miles out from shore, but yeah, it wasn't deep sea fishing, but it was a fun.
You wouldn't call it deep sea fishing?
No, it was, I mean, we were only in 50 foot water. I mean,
what would you call deep sea fishing then?
Like way out, 12, like 20 miles out or...
That was deep-sea fishing. You could hardly see land.
We were going after, like, small fish. We didn't catch any large fish. That wasn't even...
I know. After the fact. We didn't know that before the fact.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who caught, you know, I think it was a marlin.
Yeah. No.
Or was it a...
Something else. But, they were...
Like a 30-plus inch fish.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it was fun. We had a good time. And you could... Get out of the sun if you wanted to.
It was shallow sea fishing.
Well, it was deeper than just lake fishing.
But no, it was fun. It was a good time.
I think that was pretty much the most exciting thing we did after you left. We finally felt inspired to go do some things outdoors. You went to the beach, Eric, is that right?
Once, yes.
And I guess, I don't know, this might be interesting, I don't know. I went and visited a high school where it's a prep school for kids who have scholarships to Division I programs, so
it doesn't sound interesting.
It's kids who are going to be going to play football at Notre Dame, so Alabama, like, Ohio State,
so
schools
it's
like
that.
It's
like a football factory.
It is like a high school football factory. It's preparing them for college. And often these kids only go for 1 year. So in one instance, there's a kid from California who's moving out for his senior season and going to be attending that school for only 1 year.
Okay.
And I kind of went and visited that campus a little bit, and it is locked down. but it is very nice. It's very spread out, very nice campus. And in fact, Layton, if you'd want to make a guess at how much this would cost per year, what would be your guess? And the kids, most of the kids would stay on campus.
On campus.
Yeah, but, and these are they're preparing them for top college programs, whether it's basketball or football.
I would guess maybe like $20,000 a year.
Try $50,000 to $70,000.
Why? That's more expensive than the actual school.
It is. Yeah, it's more expensive than most universities. But the thing is, if they get a scholarship to these universities, you know, then you don't have to pay anything. And oh. and all these kids do. Like, all these kids are getting offers to Division I schools, a full scholarship.
Has Notre Dame had any recruits from the school?
They actually have one right now, a commit. He's a running back. Tony Jones is his name. And, yeah, he would be...
And we can probably find more information on this on the Irish Sports Talk
That's correct.
Podcast.
Yeah, go on over to irishsportstalk.net and check out that we've mentioned him a few times after his commit, and I'm sure his name will be continued to come up. So that's all I've got, Layton. Eric, you guys got anything more?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I'm just hoping the weather at home here stays warm. It's kind of depressing coming home to colder weather. It's nice today, though. So
yeah, it is. It is.
I'm ready for spring.
All right, Layton. Well, yeah, it was great catching up with you again. Hope you have a great second shift of the day. And what do you think as far as next week? Should we just hold off on that for the time being, or could you commit to that?
I don't know my schedule yet.
So there's a chance.
Sure. There's a chance.
Just make sure you set multiple alarms.
Oh, okay.
Seriously, it was good to hear from you again. And when you said last week that you couldn't make it this Sunday, I was very excited. So I know we went a little bit over the time limit. So I hope that doesn't get you fired.
No, I won't.
All right. So until next week, we will have a podcast. You know, whether it works out for later or not, there will be an episode aired next week. So tune into that over at the FrenchPressPodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook and Twitter. And have a good week, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.